Let us therefore read God's word. And our reading this morning is from the Old Testament and the book of Joshua and chapter 3. The book of Joshua and chapter 3. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests of the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, Take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Hivite, and the Perizzite, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribe of Israel, out of every man a tribe, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks at the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Saritan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Amen, and may God add his blessing and grant to us all understanding in that reading of his own holy word. We continue our worship singing, this time a portion from Psalm 50. Psalm 50, and we're singing from the beginning of that psalm, The mighty God the Lord has spoken, and did call the earth from rising of the sun to where he hath his fall. From out of Sion hill, which of excellency and beauty the perfection is, God shine gloriously. Our God shall surely come, keep silence shall not he. Before him fire shall waste, great storms shall round about him be. And to the heavens clear he from above shall call, and to the earth likewise, that he may judge his people all. Together let my saints unto me gathered be, those that by sacrifice have made a covenant with me. Psalm 50, the mighty God the Lord hath spoken. Would you turn with me to the portion of scriptures we read there from Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3, and we can read verse 4 and 5. The instructions Joshua gave to this great crowd of people, a vast multitude of people crossing the Jordan. There shall be a space between you and it, that is the ark, about 2,000 cubits by measure, that's between 800 meters, almost 1,000 feet of a barrier. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And there are words there which are quite appropriate and applicable to ourselves. These people were traveling into a new area of land. They were going into new experiences of the Lord's hand and blessing upon them. And as they were going into that new land, so the application to ourselves comes across. We're traveling into a new year, and what the Lord said and spoke to these people applies to ourselves on the threshold from 2011 to 2012. We can look back. We've done it just recently. We look back and we raise our Ebenezer. We say, hitherto the Lord has helped us. As we review and a year has come to a close, we acknowledge His goodness, His kindness, His mercies to us. But now we turn forward into a new year. And we meet with the Lord, deliberately gathering in His house presence to hear what He has to say to us. We're straining to hear a word for our soul. We've got our own fears and our own thoughts and experiences. We look into the future and we don't know what it holds. What the word here is, you've not passed this way heretofore. They hadn't, neither have we. And so the Lord says to them, and it comes to us, sanctify yourselves. These people, Israel, had been taken out of Egypt. They had for 40 years been wandering in the desert, the wilderness. When you go to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and the beginning of that chapter, you find the Lord's purpose in doing so. He was refining them. He was filtering out, removing from them any kind of confidence in themselves. They had to learn a very significant spiritual lesson that we all have to learn through the troubles of life that come upon us as they came upon them. The Lord was teaching them not to rely on their own resources. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of our God. It was there for a time of learning about themselves, as well as a time of refining. It was a time of discovery, a time of trusting in God. 40 years have passed. They're now coming to new ground. They're coming into new experiences. They're coming into new difficulties. They're coming under new orders as they stand there on the side and on the bank of the Jordan, looking across to Jericho. The challenge comes to them as they face the unknown, as it comes to us as we face a new year. Fears for our health, for our jobs, for our families. Fears for the Lord's cause, the Lord's people, for ourselves as a denomination, for ourselves as a congregation. These words, therefore, address us as we stand with our need, shoulder to shoulder with them. And the first thing that I want us to draw attention to is simply the preparation that had to be made and engaged in. Very simple one to begin with. The Lord had promised that he was going to do great things for them. The people now had to be prepared. And the focus of what Joshua says comes to rest upon the ark. He keeps on referring back to the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth, emphasizing and drawing attention to them time and time again. The ark, yes, the symbol of God's presence with them. 17 times mentioned in chapters 3 and 4. The ark, the ark. But it's not just simply the ark alone that's mentioned. It's the ark of the Lord of all the earth. Again, emphasizing what we've discovered time and again in the past. He's the sovereign God of all nations, not just simply of this people. That's the lesson that we've got to take to ourselves when we think of the politics and the economics of 2012. When we think of all the celebrations that are going to be engaged in with Jubilee weddings, with Olympic Games and such like. We've got to remind ourselves that the God we have is a God of all the earth. The lesson that was repeated to them time and time again, because it's a hard one to learn and it's a difficult one to remember and to hold on to when there's so much pressure bearing down upon us to think in different and in other terms. So therefore there was the focus upon the ark. It tells us that this is God's work. That God was there in the midst of these people and that he was doing this. They were spectators. And we've also got to remind ourselves that the God of all the earth is the living and the true God. And the God who still works amongst and through his people. He is not far off, and he is not silent. And what we need to do is constantly to live for him and nearby with him. And as we get blessing from him, so we seek to share it and to give it to others. There are times, and it's been on my mind in these past days, we can be very comfortable in our own zone of doing things. And sometimes we need the Lord to challenge us. Perhaps a reluctance, a reticence. Perhaps there's a withdrawing and a reserve about speaking out and being as aggressive in our Christian faith as others are. And sometimes we've got to ask the Lord to put us into situations where indeed there is no option left to us but to speak and to share and to witness and testify, even although it might be in hard and difficult circumstances, to speak of the Lord as the living and the true God, the one to whom all people are accountable, and the one who rules over our nation, no matter how perverse. And we don't know the degree of that perversity that we're going to see in 2012. But no matter how perverse our nation might be, to keep on raising a voice and speaking out on the side of our Lord. Preparation. The ark in the midst. The distance between them and that ark. Why was there that distance set? The distance, we've said, is about 1,000 yards, 800 meters. It was for a very particular reason. It was so that all the people might see what was happening. This front of people that were going to cross the Jordan, it wasn't a narrow channel that was going across. It was a front that was miles wide. And because of that, everybody had to be able to see the ark, because it was the ark that was the focus of all that was happening. And to maintain that perception, and to be able to see, there had to be that barrier, that distance, to see that it was the Lord that was doing it. There was that distance that their minds and their eyes might be fixed upon the one who was working amongst them. And then we're told that they had to prepare themselves. They had to make themselves ready. Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do great things among you. Purify their clothes, purify their body, but also purify their soul. They are to focus on who is in their midst and what he is doing amongst them. And again, there's an emphasis there that we've got to grasp hold of for ourselves. It is vital that we recognize who is at work amongst us. That it is God's mighty hand and stretched out arm that we need and that we look for amongst us. We need to have our souls tuned. We need to have our minds focused. We need to have our thoughts lifted and separated from everything that's going on in the world round about us, that we might be able all the more clearly to see that indeed it is God who is in the midst of his people, who does great things for his people. And that is our expectation as we go into this new year. If we don't have that preparation, if we don't have that fixing of our thoughts and our minds upon the Lord, we can see so much that happens. We can see so much that takes place, but we can miss the explanation of why it's all happening. Right at the very start, the tone must be set to see that it is the Lord who's doing this thing. For ourselves, we have an application. We must not rush into the presence of God, taking the attitude of the world with us, rushing in and then rushing out without any difference being known to us of being in the presence of the Lord. We must detach our thoughts. We must fix them upon the Lord. We come to church and we seek to prepare our body. We seek to prepare ourselves. We get dressed. We prepare physically. But we must also seek to prepare spiritually. To worship God. To pray. To wait. To listen. To hear what he has to say to us. To watch with expectation, to listen to the message that is brought to us, not just simply on every Sunday, but perhaps particularly this Sunday, as we look forward to a new year. The preparation that had to be engaged in by these people then, and something of the reasons for it. But the second thing we want to mention here is, notice the way in which they were brought to this place where the guidance, the providential guidance of the Lord. And they were here facing a huge obstacle and facing a huge barrier. And you can almost imagine the thinking that might have been in some of the people. How are we going to cross this trouble? How are we going to get over this obstacle? You see, there were only two people. There were only two people in that whole congregation that saw what God had done when he crossed the Red Sea, when they came out of Egypt. Joshua and Caleb. Everybody else had been born these 40 years in the desert. It was a new generation. And they had not that experience of what God was able to do and had done for them in the past. So you can see the way in which there was the recipe there for doubts and fears arising within them. But yet we say this, it is God's providence that brought them there. They moved when he guided them. All of the different signs and directions that he gave them, they followed. Their way had been set by God to bring them to that place without a single wrong move, no error, no false turnings. They had been there by the providence of God. There are no surprises to God. We move from one moment to the next through life. We cannot see beyond the immediate moments we're in just now. Who knows what 2012 will hold for any one of us? We may come into a very similar circumstance where we face something enormous, something dominating, a problem or an obstacle or a barrier that we think we'll never overcome, we'll never get through it. We can be in a very similar circumstance ourselves. But we've got to take again the same thinking as they had. It is the Lord who has guided us, and we've seen that guidance right up till now. And the Lord doesn't change just at that moment's notice. The psalmist gives it to us. My times are in thy hands. And we would want them to be nowhere else but with the Lord. Sudden turns, surprises, shocks even to ourselves, but none to the Lord. Because we can look back just as we've done in the year that is closed. We can look back and we can remind ourselves of the displays of God's power, what we've discovered and experienced of his character. We can speak to our soul, and especially it is good to speak to our soul when we're in times of trouble and difficulty. And we can then speak, we can reflect, we can remind ourselves of what God has been to us in the past. The loving kindnesses of God. When we were in a very similar circumstance, facing a hard, a painful, a sorrow time. And the Lord took us through it. And we've discovered something perhaps fresh and new about him in that time. And we hold on to it as we face something similar in the years to come. And we can say to ourselves, Lord, this is what I discovered and this is what you did for me then. I'm in this kind of trouble and in this kind of problem now. And we look to the Lord to help us. And that is the cure for any kind of discouragement that might come upon us. That is the way in which we can overcome problems and difficulties. To think again of the Lord's bounty. To think again of the Lord's riches towards us. If we are following the Lord, it's not an easy path to take, and it's not an easy path to walk. But the one thing that we're utterly convinced about, it is the right path to be on. And it might be tough, and it might be hard, and the temptations might be there from time to time to give in and to go back. When we come to a great swelling Jordan, when we come to an obstacle of that kind of proportion and scale, what are we going to do? But we forget that there is no true enjoyment and there is no true peace if we are straying or erring from our God. We might face troubles and problems on such a scale, but we draw upon what we've discovered of the Lord in the past, that he will do it and be the same to us in the future situation we're in. So yes, there's the providence of God bringing them to that situation and the way in which they can think about it, not so much in purely humanistic terms or social terms, but the way in which we must face all the problems that come into our lives and speak of them and look at them and solve them from a spiritual perspective and proportion. Remember what we said about the way in which Peter, and it was Peter that does it, but it's the standard workings of Scripture. God does not give us specific answers to specific problems. God does not give us a big, huge book with an index at the back of it with every single kind of problem that is likely to come up in human experience. That's not the way the Lord deals with his people, and that's not the way the Lord had dealt with us. But what the Lord does is he sets out parameters. He sets out markers in the ground, principles that operate in a particular situation. And he hammers them in the ground round about us. And having set these principles in place, the Lord then speaks to us and the Lord says, right, unpack your problem now within that framework of these principles that he has set out. And see how these principles apply to you. And how they give you guidance and help and direction and solution to what you're going through and experiencing. And that's what the Lord does time and again with his people. Gives us principles. We need to be quiet and to be stilled and to think about our soul and to remind ourselves of what God has done. These very principles, yes, the loving kindness of the Lord. Yes, my times are in his hands. Yes, God does not change. These are the kind of principles we've got to hammer in the ground whenever we're facing a problem. And we've got to remind ourselves of what God did for us in the past. It's his providence that has brought me here. This is what I know about his character. This is my experience of him at his hand. Take it all together and apply it where you are. Providence. But then, what was the prescription that Joshua gave to these people? What did he say to them? How did Joshua respond himself? Earlier on, at the very beginning of this chapter, he was to take over from Moses. Moses had died and the mantle of authority and leadership fell upon Joshua. What was he going to do? What was he told to do? Yes, there were great promises given to him. Everywhere you're going, it's yours. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. But there were certain things that Joshua had to do. And as he knew them for himself, vividly taught of them in chapter 1, so here Joshua is sharing them and passing them on to the people in chapter 3. He tells them and he's saying to them, obey what the Lord has done. Keep your eye on the path. Don't turn to the left or to the right. This is the way, walk ye in it. We're going to face troubles and problems in 2012. There is no doubt about that from any one of us. There's going to be anxieties and fears come upon us. Different proportions, different scales, different intensities. There's going to be the pressure bearing down upon us relentlessly for the world to cast us in the mold of the world. The world doesn't like people who are different. And a Christian voice and a Christian testimony raised will immediately bring about that pressure upon us. And there's always the danger of muting our words. There's always the danger of wandering our feet. There's always the danger of turning to the left or to the right. And here is Joshua saying to them and to us, quite simply, there's no great secret about living the Christian life. So often, you know, there's these great initiation processes that go forward with other organizations. You know, there's this secret that if you get it, you're in. There's no such initiation. There's no such great mystical experience for the Christian life. It comes down to simple things that we know. Problem is not ignorance. The problem is putting them into effect in our lives. And that's what here Joshua shares with them and with us. He says, obey. Just get your head down and keep going in the way that you know is right. Just keep going. Not only to obey, but as we've already said, keep your eye fixed. When you see the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant, move on. Keep your eye fixed. The symbol of God's presence with his people. Keep your eye fixed upon God today. The path, we've said, is rough, difficult. The load is heavy. But the assurance that you've got is that the Lord will never leave you. And so you would rather be there with all of the troubles and difficulties that might be in store for you. But you're there knowing of God's presence with you. And you would prefer that than the easy portion at a distance from the Lord. Daniel had it tough. Daniel had a hard life being a Christian testimony where he was. And we find and we read the different troubles and difficulties that he was in and took him into trouble in the furnace and such like. But there he had God's company with him. And so therefore he preferred that company rather than the approval of friends and everyone else round about him. So it is with ourselves. Look to the Lord and keep our eye fixed upon him. Fear not, he says. Why? Because I am with you. Be not dismayed. Why? I am your God. That's the comfort and the consolation given to God's people, to those who know him today as we go into a new year. The greatest consolation that we can have, the greatest comfort that we can get, is derived from the presence of God with his people. The Lord God of all the earth, who is with his own as they travel into new and fresh experiences. Dedication then is what is required of them, and it is required of us. We all know the old, and it's maybe a rare thing in these days, but we all know the old Scottish habit when it comes to the new year. My mother used to do it. You've seen it done yourselves. Taking the ashes from the fire and throwing them out. And all of that symbolized and represented getting rid of the old before the new came in. Setting the house in order. Yes, it's seen there in physical things. But how much more important is that it be done in spiritual things? Dedicating ourselves to our God. We pause, we assess, we look at our life today, now. What have we got out of 2011? What have we got out of the past year that still stays with us? What are we looking for in 2012? What are we looking for? What's our expectation, our hope, our dreams? The one thing that we can do, the best thing of all, as for me and my house, we dedicate ourselves to the Lord. There is no better duty, and often that duty is turned into delight. There is no better duty facing us, confronting us at this moment on that threshold. There is no better duty than to set ourselves aside to the Lord, to get rid of the clutter that sometimes comes about our feet to trip us up, into our mind to confuse us and to breed doubt, comes into our life to distract us and to turn us to the side this way or that. Cut through all of that clutter and let us do what Joshua gives to these people. Let us dedicate ourselves to the Lord. And there is a great effect, just to take two little things before we finish. There is a great effect that we look for when the Lord is present with his people. Then, as we look to the Lord to be present with us now. Just go forward into chapter 4 and the last two verses of chapter 4. The Lord your God has dried up the waters of Jordan. All of you have passed over. But that's not where it ends. We then read in verse 24 that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. They were living in a day when there was so much idolatry going on round about them. People were taken up with their own idols and their own philosophies. But now God is amongst his people and he's working with his people. And even the enemy, all the peoples of the earth, even those strangers to God, might testify that God is in the midst of these people. They're no longer able to shrug it off and walk away. It is evident that God is with them, standing on the banks of the Jordan. He's with them as they cross that river and as they go to the city of Jericho. Is that not the same longing that we have for ourselves? That God would be with us. So the people that see us gathering in that building at that time for these meetings, so the people who walk past us and that meet us in life, that they would have this conviction as was known to others in the days of Joshua. That all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord, it is mighty. That's the conviction we seek, not just simply amongst ourselves, but spreading as ripples out from our meeting, that others might know. And the one last word, so it brings to all of us this challenge, the very end of verse 20. That you might fear the Lord your God forever. A God who does mighty, wonderful things. All of these things that he's done with the power of his might. What effect does that have on them? The intention, the challenge, the hope was that they might fear the Lord their God. That's the same challenge for ourselves. What is the effect on us of all the things that we've heard of God's doing since Joshua, through the Old Testament, into the New, at the cross, in the Gospel, especially concerning the work of His Son. Amazing and astonishing works of power and of grace and of might. Great things God has done, the doing of the Lord. What is the effect of all these things on us? Do I fear Him? Do you? Do I love Him? Do you? Have I committed all of my interests to Him? Have you? The Lord is looking for that dedication from us. Face problems, difficulties, trials. That'll come our way. But here we're challenged about our attitude and the step that we take right at the very beginning. How are we going to start this year? Never mind thinking of what it might hold for us. At the very beginning, the challenge comes, how are we setting out on this journey? With that dedication, with that obedience, with that look, with this challenge, that we might fear Him, not to dread Him, but to love Him for all the might and the wonder that He has done for His people. You've not passed this way heretofore, so therefore the obligation comes on you, on me, and our nation, and our people. What are we to do? We are, verse 5, sanctify yourselves. Set yourselves apart and separate, devoted, dedicated to the Lord our God. Let us pray. O gracious God and Lord, Thou art indeed the God of all the earth, of all nations and of all peoples. We come before Thee to commit our way to Thee. And we ask, O Lord, that Thou wouldst take us in Thine hand and lead us through these days, giving to us the teaching that we might know the way ahead, but having learned it and found it, give us also, Lord, the strength and the courage to put our foot out and to walk where Thou dost guide and lead. We can see that, O Lord, with these people of old, even as they came to the very bank of the Jordan. Would they hold back or would they step forward? And when they did, the water dried up and the way opened. Encourage us, O Lord, those Thy people who trust Thee, that we might continue so to walk, relying upon Thee and Thee alone. Pardon, Lord, our sins, faults and failings in the way in which we have not honored Thee as we should, and deal with us in Thy grace. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We close by singing a few verses from Psalm 37 at verse 3. Set thou thy trust upon the Lord, and be thou doing good, and so thou in the land shalt dwell and verily have food. Delight thyself in God, He'll give thine heart desire to thee. Thy way to God commit Him, trust it bring to pass shall He. And like unto the light He shall thy righteousness display, and He thy judgment shall bring forth like noontide of the day. Rest in the Lord and patiently wait for Him. Do not fret for him who prospering in his way, success and sin doth get. Psalm 37, 3 through 7, set thou thy trust upon the Lord. And now may grace, mercy and peace from God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit rest upon and abide with you all. Amen.